morning. We, over the last week or so, have been talking through a couple of colors, and last week we talked about the color purple, and we talked about Christ as King, and what that looks like, and what that means, and how, you know, 2,000 years ago that there was a group of people that in 1 week's time, 1 week, were worshiping Jesus as the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, and then within a week, the same people were killing him and putting him on a cross. And, you know, this morning, we come to the finale of that story. And Friday we talked about the color red, representing the blood of Jesus and his death on the cross, and that it and through him is the only way for us to have forgiveness. We talked about that, and we read through the story and read through what Jesus endured for us on our behalf, the punishment that we deserve. And then today, we have this color white, and you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, what's up with that? And this color, I think, will kind of pan out as we go through this morning and spend a few moments together talking about this. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to go ahead and get it out and have that with you. If you don't have one, shoot your hand up. We got some ushers that will bring you one, and they will be glad to do that. Just keep your hand up there until they get to you with it. We've actually been running low, and we actually went and got some of those just for today to get us through for a bunch that are coming that we've ordered. But we want you to have that. If you don't own a Bible, we want you to keep that one and consider it a gift from us, and we're glad for you to have that. Later in the morning, we're getting the opportunity to baptize a young man. And one of the things that I love about baptism is that baptism is this symbolic thing of an old life and a new life. But it's also symbolic of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this morning, you know, how fitting it is that we get to baptize someone on Easter when we're here celebrating today the resurrection of Christ together. You know, I think for us to just even kind of get a grasp on who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we have to get the full story. And the full story, and I don't have time to probably give you the full story, but the full story of just even Jesus and what he did for us, living a perfect life, being the perfect sacrifice, the only person, the only way that we could ever have forgiveness of sin, the only person that could ever take on the burden that we deserve of death for our sin. But I think that sometimes we miss this huge, very important element, and that's the element that we're celebrating today, which is Jesus not just killed, not just murdered, not just crucified on the cross, but also Jesus resurrected from the dead. You know, this whole idea, this victory over death, you know, is such a big deal, you know, and I know that for many of us, you know, when we think about even those words kind of getting put together, we have more images of one of my, and don't ask me how this happened, but one of my daughter's favorite videos, music videos, Thriller by Michael Jackson, okay? And I don't know if it's been probably a while since you've seen Thriller, or maybe you were born way after Thriller and you'd have no idea, but there's zombies in the whole bit and they all come out of the ground. And I think at first it scared her to death, but now she wants to watch it. I think that if we're not careful, we put that too much with what Jesus did. And I think what Jesus did here is a completely different thing. It's something that, you know, we have no real comprehension of other than what we see written in the scriptures. And so today I want to read that. I want to read that together. In Matthew chapter 28, we see Jesus resurrected. And I want us to look at that together this morning. And I want us to read through it. Matthew 28, verse 1, and it says this. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." I like that. I don't know. It's just kind of like a, you know, angel comes, rolls a stone back. It's like, I'm going to sit on it now. You know, see about putting your stones, you know, in my way again. So the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, rolled a stone, sat on it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See? I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I think for us to understand this story, this picture, what happened? Why would God do this? What's the point in this? What's the purpose in this? I think it's a little bit of kind of like the attitude of the angel, of the whole like, yeah, you're going to put a rock in my way and I'm going to move it and I'm going to sit on it just to show you that I can. Jesus did what he did, and some of this with him returning, coming back from the dead, defeating death. This is something no one has ever done on their own. We see Jesus himself heal some people, even some of his disciples do the same in similar ways. We see Jesus with his friend Lazarus who passed away, and Jesus brings him back from death earlier in the scriptures. But this morning, this understanding of what Jesus has done is, I think, so important to us that it is central to our faith. If we have to choose between it and the cross, I think we'd always choose the cross. But I don't think that we have to do that. I think that we have to take the both of them together and say there is the cross and there is victory over death. And this morning we can celebrate that together. This morning we have that to cling to. We have that to know. We have that as proof. And that's very much what it is. This passage of scripture, we see this angel, we see loved ones of Jesus, we see Jesus himself toward the very end. And behold, verse 9, "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid, and go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" You know, I think for us, you know, I think my biggest thing when I think about this, that is, I can't help but think about, okay, Jesus comes back, and then he's going to go and be with the Father in a short period of time, but he's defeated death. And so although he has defeated death, he's come back, and he's come back to tell us something. What is it? What's so important that Jesus wants to come back and share and help us to understand? I think that it plays out through the stories of the accounts that we see. And I'm not going to read through those this morning, but I challenge you to do that maybe today, maybe tonight, before you go to bed. But to read through the accounts in the different gospels, you'll see different people and Jesus appearing to different people and doing different things and saying different things. But if you look at the things that Jesus is saying, there is special meaning to each one of them. And throughout them, yeah, one of the things that I've noticed is that it seems that Jesus is continually repeating a message that he has repeated before. And so the question of, you know, if Jesus is going to die and then he's going to come back and he only has this small window of time, what's he going to say in that window of time? And I don't know about you, but I mean, in that window of time, I'm kind of going, okay, I really want to get this. I don't want to miss what Jesus is saying here. I want to completely understand what in the world is he talking about. And we see through stories like Peter, a guy who denied Jesus. Jesus told him, "You'll deny me three times before a rooster crows in the morning." And of course, Peter tells him no when Jesus tells him that. But the truth happens to be that Peter actually does this. And so when he sees Peter, you know, this is one of those comings together here of two people, you know, where Jesus knows Peter has sinned against him. Peter's done exactly what he said he would do and deny even knowing him. And Jesus asks him these questions. My dad used to do this to me. All growing up, he still does this to me sometimes. He asks me these crazy questions. You know, we'll be hanging out or something, and he'll, and it's almost kind of like this, just weird, like, you know, can a rooster pull a freight train? And I'm like, what? And he'll just say, hook him up. I'm like, what does that mean? You know? And so Jesus kind of starts in with these questions with Peter, and he's looking at Peter and he's saying, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's like, "Well, yeah, Jesus, I love you." And he's like, "Well, feed my sheep." And he looks at him and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I do." And this goes on three times. Jesus basically asks this question, "Do you love me?" And he's driving home this understanding that Peter has a reason to exist. And this morning, you know, not to turn this and make it this about us, because this morning is really about him. This morning is really about his victory over death, what he has done. All glory to him. But at the same time, I think that we see some pieces here of understanding of what our lives are to be about. And this morning, maybe you're sitting here, maybe you're kind of like, you know what? My life has no meaning, it feels like, whatsoever. I just kind of float through. It just kind of, you know, I just kind of do whatever. And the truth is, I'm not real sure what the meaning of my life is. And let me just tell you that all of Scripture teaches us, Jesus himself taught us, it is to give God glory. It is to make him famous. It is to live for him. That sounds simple, but that's really hard. And Jesus was driving home to Peter with these "do you love me" questions, saying, "Feed my sheep, love my people, love others, be a light into this world as I am a light into this world." In fact, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you, John 12, verse 46. John 12, verse 46 says this. It says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." You see that? You see that? Jesus himself, his purpose in the whole thing was to come and save the world, all the while giving God the glory. You see, Jesus is trying to help us understand something in his last moments. After coming back from the dead, what is so important? What did he have to say? Do you love me? Asking questions? What's that about? He wanted Peter to understand that this life is not about him. It is about doing the work of the kingdom of God. And that starts with feeding sheep. It starts with loving others, with taking the gospel to them, loving people. We see this furthermore in passages like the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, we have this understanding of, you know, where he's, you know, talking about, well, I'll just read parts of it here to you. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The Great Commission, what is it about? His last big hurrah, Jesus' last big, "I want you to have this. I want you to get this. This is your mission. This is what you're you're supposed to be about, and what's he saying? He's saying, with all the authority that I have, I want you to go out and I want you to tell people about me. And I want you to tell them about the things that I've been talking about. I want you to teach them these things. Baptize them in my name. You know, and I think even just to kind of get an understanding of the baptism thing, you know, that we have, you know, we're so used to doing this and we're so used to tying baptism to being a religious experience. At that point in time, baptism had just begun. And it was something that people did in the middle of town in the river to show that they had changed their life in some way. John the Baptist saw this, picked it up, said, let's start doing this because there is no better life change than Jesus. And he's basically saying, look, baptize in my name because I'm just go ahead and tell you, there's not any other thing that's going to save you. You need me. You need me. And so we have Jesus with the message of love people. Go and love them. Go and love them on mission. Take to them the gospel. Let them know that I will be with them. Teach them the things that I have commanded. What's he saying? Jesus' last words are the same things that he's been saying all along. He comes back for a brief moment in time, just long enough to spit it all back out in a short essay, and says, here it is. Here it is. I've been giving it to you here all along, but you know what? They killed me, and I came back. Na 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 boo boo, I beat death. You know? And he's saying the words with all authority. He's saying, look, nobody else has done this. I've told you all along that I am the Son of God and I am coming back and they killed me and here I am, booyah. And he's saying, with all the authority that I have as the Son of God, if you never believed me before, be reminded, they just killed me and here I am. I'm telling you now, go and teach the things that I have been teaching you the whole time. Go and glorify God with your life by loving others, living the gospel. This color white is, I guess, really pretty much our attempt at taking a shot at light. Jesus is the light of the world. As we just read, and he came to save the world. He is the light into a dark place. And in turn, through us getting to know Jesus as our Savior, we become lights into this world. His message in this short period of time that he had for us to take after he comes back, the thing that he wants to like drive home in questions like, do you love me, Peter? Because you denied me three times last night or a couple nights ago, you know. So do you love me or are you really, you know, because I'm not sure. And Peter's like, yeah. And he's saying, then feed my sheep. And then when he gets everybody together and gives them this last hurrah, this great commission, he's so clear with all authority in heaven and on earth. By that authority, I am telling you to live out the things and teach the things that I have been saying all along. Sounds easy. Sounds simple. And really, at the end of the day, the message in of itself is simple. At the end of the day, for us just to even get a glimpse of that, I think is important. But I think that if we're not careful, I think that we can make it about religious experience. This is not about religious experience. This is about a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church. I grew up in church. I had a lot of religious experiences before I knew Jesus. If we're not careful, we make our faith and our walk with God about religious experiences instead of about spending time with Jesus and who he is. You know, for us, I think, just to even see how much we need him, how lost we are without him, how he has saved us from sin. And for anyone who believes in him will be saved, just as the passage just said. And I think it's easy for us to say, well, you know, I know enough about Jesus. Do you know enough about Jesus? Do you understand where his power and authority comes from? Because I want to read you a passage of scripture that if you don't, if you've never caught his power and authority, you're going to see it right here. Colossians 1 in verse 15 says this. Check this out. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. He's talking about Jesus right here. The firstborn of all creation, here before anything else. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Check that out. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Jesus has the authority. Jesus not only has the authority, but he has the power. And I don't know about you, but you know, this, I think especially as guys, we like power. Power is something we can get into. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's like vacuum cleaner, car. We like power. We want the most powerful. Right? It's the reason that people are selling $600 vacuum cleaners all day long. I think for us to understand that Jesus has the ultimate power over all creation, over all dominions, over all authorities, is something for us to sit back and think about on a more regular basis than what we probably do. And what it does for me is it brings me back to a place where I just want to worship God. I want to thank him for what he's done. I want to thank Jesus for what he's done. I want to thank him for not only dying on the cross, but I want to thank him for his victory over death. It encourages the fire out of me. This morning, you may be here and you may not know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never experienced having a relationship with God. All you've ever had are religious experiences. I want you to know something this morning. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus came to save you. And that in his death on the cross, it doesn't matter how bad of things that are in your past, the things that you have done, it doesn't matter how terrible they are. Jesus brings forgiveness for those things. All you have to do is trust in him. All you have to do is have faith in him. I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus. Maybe you need to do that this morning. At the end of our service, we'll have some pastors and other folks that will just be down here ready to talk with you about what it means to know Jesus as your Savior. And we would love to talk with you and talk with you about what it means to trust in Jesus as God, Lord, and Savior. What we don't need is to pretend like our Savior is in our religious past. Religion doesn't save. Only Jesus saves. And we need Jesus to save us from our sin, to save us from ourselves. What Jesus has done is not just get beat down and murdered on a tree, but he completely conquered death so that he could come back for a brief moment and say, this is what it's about. Don't miss it. Don't miss the mission that I have for you. Don't miss the purpose that I have for your life, but take it and run with it. Let the message of the gospel permeate into your life and let it change you. We killed him. We put him there. And yet he still came back. And he still has forgiven us. This morning, maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're a believer, and maybe you've been away from church for a long time. Maybe, more importantly, you've been away from Jesus for a long time. And I just want to invite you this morning to return to him. Run back to him. Let him be the Lord of your life. Let him guide your ways. Let him be your Savior. Let him be the man that he wants to be, guiding your life. We need that. We're lost without it. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're at a place in life where you've got a lot of stuff going on. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. Again, at the end of our service today, we'll have some folks here that will just be ready to pray with you. They're here for that reason. We'll be here for that reason. We love you, and we love you, and we're able to love you because Jesus loved us first. And because we are all called to feed sheep, we're all called that with the authority of Jesus, with the same saving power that Jesus has, that he has given us the ability in his authority, under his power, to go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus saves. And I guarantee you, if you don't know him, he wants to save you. He came to save you. Let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you for an opportunity to come and just focus on you. God, we praise you. We praise you for what you've done. We thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to remember a moment in time where you changed it all. God, we thank you for coming back for that brief moment, God, to give us better even a reason of understanding of what you've called us to do, and to drive it home in concrete. You are the Son of God. You can defeat death. You have defeated death, and you've done so that we would understand and see who you really are, so that we can really follow you. God, I just pray for anyone that doesn't know you today. God, I pray, Lord, that they would turn their lives toward you, that they would repent of their sin, they would turn from their wicked ways. God, that we all would do that, God, on a daily basis, that we would turn from those things and turn toward you. God, we need you. God, we need you. God, as we worship you, be glorified in who you are.